Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All VR call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, April 12th of 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our April VR Cost Reimbursement National Teleconference Call. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we appreciate your suggestions for agenda topics. We have a full agenda with a lot of excellent information to share, from cost reimbursement updates to information about our ticket portal and other topics on our agenda that we've already shared with you. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, we have with us today Mark Green. Mark is a colleague here in ORDES, and he's from our Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support. We received several questions about topical areas that fall under Mark's responsibility, such as about the DPQI, time of progress, Maximus Call Center, and so on. So we've asked Mark to address those questions related to his area of responsibility. After Mark speaks, we'll cover the other agenda items. But before we cover the other agenda items, we'll open up the call for questions about anything that Mark talks about. And as always, remember, I wanted to give a plug. If you have questions that are not answered today when we transition to our question and answer part of the call, you can always contact our VR help desk at vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. So without further delay, I'll turn over to Mark Green, the Deputy Director for our Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support. Mark.
Thank you, Regina. Hi, everyone. It's been a long time since I've talked to you folks. I have a couple questions. This one is fairly long, so I'm going to read it. And I'll say at the outset, this is not specifically under our jurisdiction, but I want to make a couple of points about that. So bear with me. This is a long one. I have received concerns from the area director's office that their AWICs are overwhelmed with BPQI requests and earning submissions, not just from the VRs, but from CWICs, LIPAs, and now WIPs, California. The area director's office suggests for work incentive providers to request BPQI and submit earnings to the field office first, and if unable to obtain, then escalate to the AWICs. Is there a process in place to ensure the work incentive providers can obtain the needed information and at the same time allow workload balance for the AWICs? So the BPQI is not generally under our jurisdiction here. That is an operations question. We are, however, as many of you know, because you're participating in it, and others probably know anyway, operating a proof of concept where we are providing BPQIs to requesters whom we invited into the proof of concept, and that's going gangbusters. We have provided almost 11,000 BPQIs in an average of 5 days, but it is still not nationwide. That is our intention. It's a complicated process that involves half the offices and the office assistants here, and it's going to take some time. But for the present and for several months to come, only the providers, VRs, ENs, WIPAs that are in the proof of concept we'll be able to get BPQIs through that. I am, however, happy, or somebody here in OTOPS will send this over to the operations staff. We have a contact in operations, and if it's specific issues in specific parts of the country, we have dealt with them through operations. So when I'm finished, if this person who asked the question is on the phone, please tell me where you're talking about, or if not, just get in touch with us after the call. Let us know what part of the country, what field offices, what area director you're talking about, and we'll try to take care of it in that way. Next question is, status of the new Maximus Call Center training, what is different from the last group, what have they learned that will make things different? Our training contractor, Virginia Commonwealth University, has had several training sessions on site where the new call center is in Far Texas. In fact, I will be visiting Far Texas in a couple of weeks to check up on everybody there, Judy. We are constantly looking at the training. We ask every participant in the training class to fill out an evaluation form. We're always tweaking it, looking for redundancies and ways to make the training shorter, more concise. I know because it's a new contractor, there are new processes and a couple of new requirements in the statement of work. So we've added some information on providing remote virtual services or just a general referral process. It has not changed dramatically. We are quite satisfied with the training. So again, if the questioner is out there, I have a feeling there might be something more behind this question. Otherwise, again, let us know if you have some suggestions and some subjects that you think maybe VR is being shortchanged on in the training. We'll take a look at that. Third question, any change in the consumer signed ticket on assignment form submission via fax? What is the preferred process moving forward? I know, whoops, got knocked into here. Is there a process in place on the website where a beneficiary can fill out a form if that person wants to unassign a ticket from an EN or from the VR holding the ticket, and the person can even mail it or fax it to Maximus on addresses that are on the website? I think that is still the case, but I know Maximus is methodically going through their websites and looking at all of those processes, and if it's not the case, we will let you know in all the ways we normally communicate you those changes. I don't think it's changed, but we'll let you know. And finally, there are three related questions about timely progress. The first is generally, can you share more information about the moratorium? Well, yeah, we still have a moratorium. We are slowly moving towards a situation where we will test a small amount of CPR cases just to see that it doesn't break the system, because they're coming through the portal now. That's coming up. We will turn the spigot on slowly after that to get back into the swing. And when we do that, of course, as with everything, we will advertise and communicate to you what the schedule is and when things are going full bore. So we are still now in a moratorium, which leads to the next question. When they do restart, will SSA go retroactive on the TPR? No, we will apply the TPR rules in effect as the date you select the beneficiary. So wherever they are at that time, that's the year in the TPR that they'll be responsible for, and that's the information and evidence that we will request from the beneficiaries, and if you're helping them to determine whether they have met the requirements to continue their CDR protection. And the last question is, since we are not doing TPRs, will beneficiaries with tickets in use, could VR still have continued CDR protection? Sure. Beneficiaries will continue to have CDR protection until we restart the TPR reviews and send them through the process, and they'll continue until we make a determination for whichever ones we do that they have not met the time of progress requirements. So, operator, I will take questions now on the subject matter I just addressed, please.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone. Question from the line of Eugenia Cox.
Yay, it worked.
Well, hey, Eugenia.
Hey. I'll try to stick to the two subjects or the subjects that you just presented on. When does the new hotline contractor start? Or has it already started?
The call center? Oh, that's Maximus. That's the TPM. They took over the call center when we awarded the new contract.
Okay, because I've been recently getting calls from beneficiaries that were directly directed to us. So it's kind of being an automatic that they're sending us the beneficiaries directly to the VR state VR agency.
You're saying the helpline is talking to people who are working with VR?
No, they call and they find out where they're what state they're in, and they give them the contact number for us.
Okay. Do you have, by any chance, not now, but do you have beneficiaries' names, maybe SSNs or anything that would help us track down those calls?
I don't specifically. I mean, I keep records of all the people that call, but I don't keep records of what they're asking for.
All right.
Or what they say.
Try to track it down otherwise. If you can, send them in to me, and I'll try to track it down. Otherwise, we'll just give a general reminder to the call center.
Okay. Yeah, and also I've recently gotten a beneficiary caller that said that the the call center that they just called the hotline, and I confirmed the number with them, and they said that VR would pay for their schooling again. And also, too, they're also giving, and I don't, this has been a problem in the past, they're giving benefit advice without looking specifically into the beneficiary's history, Social Security history, specifically about 9 months of trial work. So when we get them, we have to try to correct that. So I don't know if the call center folks are all benefits planners. And if so, are they giving specific benefits planning advice to these folks at the time? Are they pulling their specific information, or are they just giving general information?
No, they're not. They've all undergone training from VCU, which helps them answer some questions along those lines, but absolutely not. They're supposed to send people to the RIPRAs and wherever is appropriate. So let me say again, and I'll make this off to anybody, if you have similar concerns about the call center, send them directly to me, and I will put them all together, and we will have some reminder items for the call center folks.
Okay. And now going on to timely progress, people are getting, and I've gotten a couple calls from some states, people are actually getting CDRs, which they probably had not passed the CDRs before the timely progress reviews before the moratorium on them. And at least I know one state that is trying to help that person with an appeal. And they can't do anything because they can't get into the portal to look at anything with regards to the person's TPR. So, there is a connection between the two because some of the states, if the person doesn't fill out the timely progress review correctly or doesn't respond, then there are states that will complete those for them, which would avoid them ultimately getting a CDR medical review. So if there's a moratorium on the TPRs, is there also a moratorium on the CDRs?
I think what's probably happened is these are people who failed the TPR in the past, and they were just now called up for CDR. It's not an automatic process. They're called up kind of on a schedule, and it could take some time. It can never happen, but it could take a year or two before they are called up. They go into a different status, and it's just kind of waiting for the system to pick them up for a CDR. That's probably what happened. They failed. They didn't get it called up immediately, and they were properly then called up for a CDR. That is appropriate way of that doing, of calling people up. If that's not the case, we get occasionally instances when the customer's sitting next to me. Every once in a while, we get some questionable cases. How did this happen? If this person passed TPR, why is this person not called up for CDR? We get these one-offs and we look them up through the system. That's another possibility. But again, with that specifics, it's hard to give you a general answer on that.
And then my last question is, what is the percentage of people that are actually passing the TPRs?
The last time I looked, and this is a while ago, it was around 20%.
Yeah. 10
pass, 80% failure, but don't hold me to that.
And that's the number that was given to us previously, and I had a state or two ask me that question, and I directed them to Maximus, and there really wasn't. All they're getting back is that there's a moratorium on TPRs. So I wanted to get that number out there so that people know, because that's the number I tell folks about how many people are actually passing those TPRs.
Okay.
And is there still the option of states to opt in and opt out of helping the people complete the timely progress reviews?
Yes, that hasn't changed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Question from the line of David Leon.
Hey, David.
Hi. How are you? I just really wanted to say thank you very much as one of the groups getting to participate in that BPQI proof of concept pilot. It has been fantastic. We sincerely appreciate the ways you are trying to work to make the system work better and function better. And if there's anything we can do to get that to go nationwide, we would be happy to, but we are very thankful to be participating.
Well, thank you for those kind words. We're working hard to try to make that national, try to provide the same service for everybody.
next question from the line of Megan Helen.
Hi, yeah, this is Megan from California, and I just had two quick questions on the TPRs. The first question is, once the moratorium is over, will we have access to the TPR information in the portal in terms of whether a consumer has passed or failed and the date?
What's the second question?
Will we have access to the status of their TPR standing, if they passed or failed?
Did you have a second question?
Yeah, the second question is if you have kind of an estimate of when we can expect the spigot to be turned back on slowly for those TPRs to start again?
I think I can answer the second question, which is probably not. So the first question about the portal, I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to defer that to Katie Schreibinger, who's on the line.
Hi, this is Katie. Yes, I'm actually going to be part of my presentation at the end here.
Oh, awesome.
Okay,
that was all my questions.
All right. Thank you.
No further audio questions.
Are there any more questions for Mark?
Audio questions?
I'm sorry, operator, did you say there is a question?
Not.
Okay.
If anybody thinks of any questions, just send them in for me, and my friends here will get them to me. We'll get to you next year as soon as we can. Thank you, everyone.
Do you want to give your
Mark, M-A-R-K, .green, G-R-E-E-N, at ssa.gov. That's spelled R-E-G-I-N-A.
I thought you were going to give help desk or something. You can send them to me.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, now we'll turn the floor over to Danielle, who has some cost reimbursement updates to share with us.
Hello. I'm going to address a couple more things that we got in as we solicited for topics from the VRs. Again, I just wanted to thank you all for sending those in. We will keep canvassing you for questions prior to the call, but as always, if you have issues or questions that you would like to discuss, you can send them in to us at any time. One thing that we received was a question about the beneficiary occupation code, if it's still mandatory. It is still mandatory. And it will be a field that you have to enter with the upcoming system enhancements as well. So for right now, that is still a mandatory code that we have to put in. The second one was more of a question, comment. One of the VRs was asking about some of the errors and issues that they've seen in some of the claims. For that, I'm just going to break down the process a little bit. Bear in mind, as you guys know right now, you're sending us paper. It's tons of paper, and this is an individual sitting at a desk with a pile of paper. They're entering these things constantly. Our technicians, that's all they do all day. So there is going to be some errors, some typos. We are doing the best that we can to eliminate that through the QA process that we told you about. However, I mean, there's going to be some human error. That's one of the reasons that we are doing the transition to the system. A lot of the things that you've asked about with automation will be virtually eliminated. So just bear with us through this transition because it's a lot of paper. They're going through paper constantly, and you just have to work with them on that. The next thing we got a comment on was the pending claim list. I am actually happy to say right now we've revamped the process, so your pending claim list should be up to date. As always, if you have any issues with that, send it into the help desk so that we can research it. But what's the process now? What you send in should be input in the system within 1 to 3 days from the time that we receive it. So the list that you're seeing now should be very accurate to what we've gotten in. what we're trying to do is get everything input the day we get it in. Of course, with people in and out of the office and when we actually receive the mail, look for a 1 to 3 day gap. The next thing I'm going to address is resubmittals versus reconsiderations. We've gotten a lot in about that from the first time we talked about it. There'll be more to come on this, but I'm just going to give you a general. Pretty much everything is a reconsideration. There are going to be updates to the handbook, which you'll see how this is broken down, and there'll also be updates to the way you see this in the system. So there won't be a separation of this is a resubmittal for this reason or this is a reconsideration for that reason. Anything that you send back in is going to be a reconsideration. That being said, when you send that in, there needs to be a clear-cut reason for why you want us to reconsider it. Either you're sending in additional information, there was something that we missed on the claim, something. It shouldn't just be, this was denied, I want to send it back in to see if you're going to pay it. That's one of the things that we're trying to control with what we spoke about a couple months ago, the retraining and the guarantee that all of the technicians are processing claims using the same instructions. That's one of the things we're updating policy, we're updating the handbook to keep everything in line so you don't have those issues, so that there's no question when you receive something that you can be assured that it is correct. Again, there'll be more to come with that as we update the policy and as these things are coded into the automated system as well. The last thing is actually just going to be an announcement. The SBR help desk at Maximus is no longer available, so anything that you were sending in to that help desk, you should be sending into our VR help desk. That is the last update that I have. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Linda Custis, who is one of our help desk analysts that you all are pretty familiar with dealing with. She has a couple things.
Hi. I would like to mention that we've had a few instances recently where the beneficiary has assigned their ticket to a VR, but the VR has not put it in use right away. It can be done right away now since the portal is in real time. When the ticket is not placed in use, the beneficiary can lose their CVR protection. So, and that's through no fault of their own, and this looks bad on the agency. The other thing I wanted to mention is that if any of you have been getting the pop-up message about your employment verification needs to be updated, I have updated all VR participants, but however, if I miss anyone, please give me a call or email. My number is 410-966-6866. Thanks.
Now we're going to turn it over to Raquel Donaldson, who is another help desk analyst for some updates.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel. One of the topics that were submitted was in regards to wage records, which is a big topic around, as you know. The question was, do the VRs need to still submit the wage records? My suggestion or my thought is that I always encourage you all to submit your wage records, just keeping in mind that we have to verify, the information has to be verified here at Social Security. However, there are times when we have unverified information, and if the information that you send in, if the employer name and the and or the EIN, the ID number for the employee, if that matches what's submitted through IRS, we accept that as verified employment as well. So I don't discourage you sending in the wage records, because the more information that we have, the probably the quicker it is that we can approve your claims. And that's pretty much all that I have right now.
Yes, just to add to you, this is Danielle again, what Raquel said. Sometimes what you send in, your wage records, can act as a lead or help us to corroborate some of the things that we have on our record so that we can use those things, because we do have to verify it with what we have on SSA records. So we encourage you to send it in. Do you have to send it in? No, you do not, because we still are going to use every source of earnings that we have available. Next, we're going to turn the call over to Katie Strivinger. She's going to give some updates and then some ticket portal information.
Hello, everyone. I wanted to give a brief update on the topic of checking ticket assignability. We have gotten a question about reinstating the IVR. At this time, we have no plans or system resources at this time to reinstate IVR. We expect BR agencies to either check assignability in the portal or to learn which clients had tickets available when they got the response to their case opening batch submissions. As Daniel's been talking about the systems release in the future, the automated system for VR payments, there is a change that is going to happen when we move to the new system in the future. The current process, you can receive one lump sum payment a month for all of the claims processed in that month. But in the future, which is looking at right now is late September, early October, in the future, when VR payments are processed through our automated system, you may receive payments on a flow basis as they are processed, meaning you could receive payments on a daily basis, or you will have the option to ask us to hold them, and we can release them to you at set intervals. But please note, if we hold them and then release them, you will receive one letter and one check or deposit per claim. This is going to be a major change in the flow of payments from us to your bank. So your agency should assess the impact of this, if any, ahead of time. And like I said, this is coming with our release to the new automated system at the end of September. Now, I did want to give you some information about the ticket portal, but I am not seeing a presentation on the screen. Are we having technical difficulties?
Actually, it's up right now, Katie.
I see a little box.
You don't see it right now?
No, I do not.
Can the listeners on the chat just type if you can see the presentation? Okay, so I see Karen Wiley. They see it.
Do I need to log?
Yeah, maybe you need to log back in. Yeah,
okay,
we only have the cover page right now. So they are able to see it. Thank you.
All right, everybody just give me a minute. I'm going to log in and log back out.
All righty.
Oh, there we go. All right. Hi, everyone. Once again, I am Katie Strivinger, and I wanted to give you some information about the ticket portal. I wanted to share some tips and reminders of things that I have brought up on previous calls, and I thought maybe having something to show you on a screen would help you remember some of this information or help it sink in. So this should answer some common questions you have. It will touch a little bit on what TPR is going to look like and just a couple of new things that we've added recently. None of this information is going to be available online. Anything that is related to the ticket portal about screens or access, we do keep that private. We try to keep it secure. So you cannot have a copy of this presentation. Anything in this presentation is included in the current ticket portal user guide, which is available on the secure training site. If you need information or are having problems accessing that secure site, you can email the VR help desk and we can make sure we can get you connected with that secure site. But nothing here is brand new information for anyone who is an existing portal user. If you are not an existing portal user, then this is a great little, give you a glimpse into the ticket portal and how it works and how it looks. And we do encourage everyone to sign up if this would suit your business needs with your agency. Next slide, please. The thing about the ticket portal is that it contains a lot of important information that we are trying to keep secure. For this reason, if you have access to the ticket portal, you are not allowed to share the link with anyone or post it on any public website. For this reason, you should not be able to Google the link to the ticket portal. It is not going to be displayed on the Your Ticket to Work website. In order to access the ticket portal, you have to make up a My Social Security account. Doing that is your personal My Social Security username or password. Do not share that information with anyone. When you go to retire, you're going to want access to your own account. And because of the way the system is set up with the extra security on the cell phone, do not use a shared cell phone for the extra security text. And once again, do not allow anyone to log in as you, because there are steps and clearances that people have to go through before they are allowed to be ticket portal users. So you should not allow anyone to log in as you as the portal. And when you do log into the portal, it does make you verify that you are who you say you are and that you are still working for the agency that we have you registered with in the portal. Now, we do encourage you to share information about the ticket portal that is on the public website. We encourage you once again to protect your information, and we encourage everyone to sign up. Next slide, please. Another security reminder about the ticket portal is that any vulnerability in the setup of your workstation can potentially compromise the ticket portal. In order to protect the ticket portal, we have placed restrictions on the operating systems and browsers that will be permitted access to the portal. If you make any major changes to your desktop or your location and you suddenly cannot get into the portal, there is a good chance that you have made a change that makes it impossible for you to get to the portal because of changes we have made on our side. Looking at this chart is in the latest Ticket Portal User Guide. We have experienced some problems with people using Windows 10. If this is not something that you have to have on your work computer, we do recommend staying with Windows 7. We are working through as an agency getting everything compatible with Windows 10, but we are still in the testing phase and trying to work out the bugs. Next slide, please. Another security reminder. The portal cannot be something you can Google. And it is for this reason that we have created a secure training website for all portal users. Once you register for the portal,
Katie, are you there? She may have dropped off her call, so why don't we just open up the line while we wait on Katie to return for any questions that anyone might have. Operator, are you there?
In order to ask an audio question, please press star 1. Again, that's star and the number 1 in order to register for an audio question. And your first question comes from the line of David Leon.
Hi, I have two questions I just want to make sure I understand fully. The first is that has to follow up with the wage verification question. And it is twofold. If I send in actual pay stubs for a client, will that be counted, or do we still have to wait till the federal wages show up? My second part to that question, if I send in work number wages for that client, will it count? And then I have a second question separate from that.
Hi, David. It's Raquel. How are you?
That's good.
Awesome question, and actually you answered your own questions because those are two forms that we absolutely accept. W-2s or, I'm sorry, what was the other one you said?
The work number?
Yes. Absolutely. Work number and W-2s are most definitely accepted by us, and we do not wait. If we don't have it verified in the system, it doesn't matter. That's verification right there for us.
Okay, excellent. And then my second question, and it may be Katie that has to answer, but one of the issues we often have with our cost reimbursement is when that money comes to our state, it goes to the state treasury, our fiscal department has to say, yes, this money is goes to our agency. When these VR payment changes happen, I believe I understood that we would either opt to get one lump sum payment or we would get paid on a flow basis as claims are processed. But if we went with the lump sum, we would get a separate deposit for each claim. And my question is, in timing,
because right now when we get the detailed clearance report around sometime between the 7th and 10th of the month, that's what I use to get our state treasury to release the funds to our agency. How will that work, and will the notification and determination of claims be changing so that if we did choose to go with the flow, a state like Virginia would be able to actually access that cost reimbursement funds when they were deposited in our treasury?
Hi, David. This is Danielle. Let me just say it again and then see if this should answer some of your questions.
Okay.
Let me just back up. What's going to happen is you're going to receive one letter, one check, one deposit per claim. Now, the option that she was giving was that you could receive them as they come, or if we do a hold, we can hold them until you want them released. However, once they're released, they will still be released as individuals. So you're still going to get one check, one notice, one deposit per claim. Does that answer?
It answers the process part. I think what that means is I'll have to work with our fiscal folks on that side.
Go ahead.
That also means that for the one option, we could, if we're having a really good period of time, be getting deposits daily.
Yes, and that's something that we actually have no control over based on our system, SSA Finance and SSA, the process that they use to send them through. We don't have any control over that part. So we wanted to give you guys as much heads-up notice as we possibly could. As soon as we found out, we let you know.
Okay.
And Katie's back on the line, so we're going to go back into her presentation. Once she's done, we'll open up again for questions. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I am so sorry about that. My BlackBerry just hung up on me. I really do apologize. So I was reviewing the secure training site, and if you are a portal user, you do have access to this site. I do encourage you to go to that site and look at the information there, especially the self-paced training module. And every time there's an updated guide, it is posted on that site. Next slide, please. I'm going to go through a few highlights of the ticket portal. I'm going to stress the importance of the announcement screen. You can view and download a list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your agency. You can view and download a list of beneficiaries formerly assigned to your agency. You can view the status of an individual ticket. You can open a single VR case, and you can upload a batch assignment file. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. The announcement screen is the first screen that pops up after you log into the portal. We are using this announcement screen as well as the gov delivery messages that you get in your email to provide important information. Please, I know that there is a constant announcement about protecting the PII of the portal. We are trying to find a way to make it something that, you know, speaks out at you when we have an announcement about some of the system's downtime or release updates or systems issues. But I do ask that you just glance at it. I know you get used to seeing and you hit OK and go to the main menu. But when there's something important we want to communicate with you, it is really easy for us to make it something you see the second you log into the portal. We recently had an issue where the batch assignment files were not working properly. They were uploading to our system, but then they were not executing. We sent out a gov delivery message, which, you know, takes a little bit to get done. You know, the message has to get approved. It has to get sent to you. You have to open your email. In the midst of you going and getting that email, we can just put something in the announcement screen for you to read to tell you, please do not upload the files. There was a chance, and luckily this was not the case, there was a chance that any file you had submitted would have just stayed out there in limbo, and you would have had to resubmit your files. we were hoping that by telling people that there was a problem and not to submit the files, that we would reduce the amount of files that we had to redo. So that announcement was really important to have everyone stop what they were doing and not use the batch upload functionality. Luckily, this got corrected on Saturday, and everyone's files who were submitted did go to completion. So the files are working properly now. And the message did get removed on Saturday morning once the files are working. So please do pay attention to announcements. It's a really quick way for us to get your attention. We will always follow up with a Gov delivery message. You will get something in writing about us, from us, but the announcements are a great way for us to communicate information to you. So I cannot stress the announcements enough. And if you would please make sure that you, you know, read them. Thank you for that. Next slide, please. And here I want to talk about managing tickets. This is a little screenshot of the main menu. The first two links are to the assignment list for your agency. There are beneficiaries currently assigned to me and beneficiaries formerly assigned to me. The information in these lists includes every single case for every single beneficiary you have ever worked with that is in SSA's records, that is actually on SSA's records. If your agency has ever worked with a client, they are in one of these two lists. I encourage everyone who does talk to me that this is a great opportunity for you and your agency to reconcile your records with our records. If you know what cases you currently have open in your system and you go to this assignment list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me, you should be able to reconcile the list and make sure that they match. Same thing for closed cases. This is a great way to make sure that everything is in order and that everything lines up, especially with TPR pending. There is, as Mark said, currently a moratorium. But once we start doing selection for TPRs, it is important that people who are currently in use of your agency do show up in use in the ticket portal. If you have someone in use in your agency, but you don't see them in use here in the portal, the information in the portal is pointing to SSA systems, and SSA systems are going to be the ones pulling the CDRs if a person fails TPR. Next slide, please. And this is a sample of what the screen of list of SSA beneficiaries currently assigned to me looks like. You can see the beneficiary's name, the assignment date, the payment method. I do want to stress here, we have had cases where in the portal, BRs have inadvertently assigned cases as ticket cases under the milestone or outcome program inadvertently. If your agency only does cost reimbursement cases, every single beneficiary on your list should have a V for cost locational rehabilitation under the payment method. That is something you can easily eyeball and fix. Now, the current column, most recent claim on page, is about ticket payments. Same thing for payment number and page two. So at that point, that is not going to apply to you unless you're a VREN. Here are the two columns that have to do with TPR. Now, this is just a sample screenshot. This is not production information. The last TPR column will tell you if they passed or failed their last TPR. The pending TPR column will tell you if there is a pending TPR for your beneficiary. That would either be a Y or an N. Once again, this is a screenshot from a test, so there's some news in here. But this is something you can actually look at today. The information in the portal today about a person does have the correct last TPR information, and everyone should be a no for pending TPR. If you have a case that says yes for pending TPR, that is a mistake, and we are working on correcting our records. No one at this time has any pending TPRs. Now, most agencies have thousands of tickets assigned to them, so if you do go to the screen, you may have to select an assignment date range in order to make some records appear. That is normal. The screen can only hold so many records at a time, and VR agencies have a lot of cases. One key feature here is that download the entire list to Excel option. That will allow you to download the entire list of cases currently assigned to your agency to an Excel spreadsheet. That spreadsheet also contains the SSN. That will help you reconcile your records. And then the action menu on the right here will actually take you to more information for each beneficiary. Next slide, please. And I do want to mention that both lists show ticket status in real time. And this is just reiterating that you should not see cases listed assigned with an M or an O if your agency does not participate in tickets. Next slide, please. portal allows you to process assignments in real time. There are three links here in the middle. Check assignability by SSN, send an assignment or unassignment file to SSA, and then check the status and download the results if available. Next slide, please. So this screen, the individual ticket status and use screen, this is what is replacing the IVR. From here, you can type in an SSN and view up the information for a specific beneficiary. Next slide, please. So here, this is information about an assignable ticket. As you can see, it gives you the ticket number, the ticket mail date, the ticket status, the ticket termination date, whether there have been any ticket payments, and earnings in the last 24 months. One thing I want to highlight here is something that comes up often is the ticket status. The ticket status refers to CDR protection status. This is in use or not in use and references whether a beneficiary has CDR protection. If the ticket status is not in use, they do not have CDR protection, most likely because they failed a TPR. This ticket status does not tell you whether or not a ticket is currently assigned. That is on the right-hand side of the screen here. The assignment information is located on the middle section. As you can see right here, the ticket on the screen was assigned and unassigned, and it is currently assignable because the two buttons appear in the middle. Open a VR case or assign a ticket. Opening a VR case will allow you to put the case in use with your agency. So once again, to reiterate, this ticket here on this screen is assignable. Next slide, please. This is an example of a ticket currently assigned to your agency. You see the same field. Now, if the ticket is currently assigned to your agency, you will see beneficiary name, as you can see right there, up here on the screen, which I've whited out. And that will be the first clue that the ticket is assigned to your agency. And you can tell there on the bottom in the middle, the assignment information, the ticket is currently assigned to you. There is no unassignment date. But as you can see, the ticket status still says not in use. That is because the CDR protection, the beneficiary has lost their CDR protection. That does not mean the ticket is not currently assigned to your agency. There's a new feature we added with the December release that you can now unassign or close the case from the screen, or, as you can see there in light blue, you can perform more actions for the beneficiary. This is a much quicker way to take actions on one ticket at a time just by typing in the SSN. Next slide, please. Does it go to the next slide? Is my screen acting funny again?
Katie, can you see the next slide?
No, hold on. I got to log in. I apologize, everyone.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, everyone. It appears Katie has dropped off again. So we're going to go into the questions again.
You can't hear me?
Oh, are you there? Oh, no, we didn't hear. We stayed silent. Go ahead, Katie.
Well, I can't see the presentation. There we go. Okay. I lost the presentation. I had to log off the chat. Okay. I apologize, everyone. I am going to need help if we have any chat questions, because every time I have to log back out, I lose the chat window. So the screen I'm looking at says ticket portal batch upload. Is that where we are? All right. This screen here is showing you the batch upload functionality that's available in the portal. I do want to stress that there are three different types of files you can use to upload in the portal. One, legacy VR open close case file, 2, legacy ticket assignment unassignment file, or the assignability file. You must choose carefully. The system is assuming that if you choose file 1, that you want to open and close the cases in the file. Prior to this file uploading the portal, Maximus knew which kind of file you were submitting based on the way you submitted it and the file name. The portal is depending on you to pick the correct option. If you select option 2, ticket assignment unassignment file, it will assign cases under the Miles and Outcome program, even if you are not a VREN. And then the third is the assignability file. Next slide, please. And I do want to reiterate to be careful when you select a file type. Type 1 assigns your case under cost reimbursement. Type 2 assigns your case under the ticket program. And if you accidentally choose the wrong file type, you can correct the record by submitting the exact same file under the other file type. This will tell the portal that you want to convert the ticket. Next slide, please. And one final piece here on the upload results. The number of errors in the screen does not mean that your file did not work. The portal is assuming that every record in your file is a case that should be assigned or unassigned, opened or closed. If that row was not successful, it did not assign a case or unassign a case, it is going to consider it an error. So you can look at the rows received and the number of errors to let you know how many transactions actually worked properly. Next slide, please. And here are some common error codes. VA04 is the beneficiary does not have a ticket. That is the most common reason that will be an error. V12, there is no match and incomplete VR closure. The VR closure code cannot be posted. You are going to see this message for cases that you are trying to close that have never been assigned to your agency. And you're going to want to check the portal to make sure this case is currently assigned to your agency. VO1 is no assignments or VR cases yet for this SSN. Ticket already terminated, already assigned to another agency, or the beneficiary attained age 65. Next slide, please. And that is the end of my presentation. I hope you got some information there that helped or that clarified some of the questions, common questions we get. Once again, any questions about the ticket portal, please do send them to the VR Help Desk at vr.helpdesk.gov. Thank you, and I'll give it back to Raquel.
Thanks, Katie. Operator, we want to go ahead now and open up the lines for questions, please.
We have a question from the line of Virginia Cox.
Hi, it's Eugenie again. I've got several questions. Let's see. One of them, let's do a portal question. How come we get claims denied because the person is not getting Social Security benefits, but they're showing an active ticket in the portal? Hello?
Katie?
Is that a Katie question?
Yes.
It can be a Katie question. It can be a Raquel question.
That is Katie. So, yeah, if you need her to repeat it.
Yeah, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry. I thought it was about a payment.
No. When we go in, one of the first things that we look at is we use the portal to verify Social Security eligibility. So when we get a claim denied because the person is not on benefits, we go in and we see that the person is an active ticket holder in current pay, and we get the ticket, and our claims are denied because they are not on benefits. Is there something that doesn't jive between the information that the person that's processing the claim and the information we're getting from the portal?
I would need a specific example. If you have one, you could send it to the VR help desk. That would be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Another question is, when the portal comes up, security training, it says that we have to have security training or we're going to lose our access to the portal. I don't know about the other states, but we have to spend 3 hours doing security training once a year. both on IT and both in regular access to files and records. So are we able to use that? Because most of us do have to participate in those types of trainings as far as our states are required.
I can help with that one, Eugenia. That is actually part of what Linda was doing. She was updating everyone. You should not see that message.
You mean we shouldn't be seeing that message on the comments?
Right. We're trying to get it. We are trying to get ahead of it. The portal gives you a 2-week notice before some dates expire. You should not have to worry about those dates.
Okay. And then there was a comment
again, and we just were a little behind. So you're not going to not be able to get into the portal because of that. We are maintaining those dates.
Because we have to submit those as resubmittals, and then we're so it's. Or whatever you're calling them now, reconsiderations. So is somebody checking for that when they do that? Is somebody checking what we're seeing, is what I'm trying to say.
For security clearance?
No, is somebody checking the information that we're looking at before determining that somebody is not on benefits?
The payment technicians are always verifying the information in Social Security system.
Which is the system that's also regulating what we see in the portal?
It should be the same system. That's why an example would help.
Okay, I can get you an example.
Great.
Okay, and then somebody made the comment about checking, about submitting UI wages, and that if they don't jive with IRS records, and somebody's going to have to clarify that because I'm assuming that IRS records are updated yearly when people are submitting
exactly
their taxes.
What she said. What she said was you can send in your, honestly, whatever wage data you have. What we're going to do is still use what we have on the verified SSA records. However, sometimes, because we're using several systems, we can use what you have sent in to corroborate some of that so that we can make your payment. So it's not something you have to send in.
So because a lot of times we'll send you in information that, because at least in our state, employers are required to report UI or wages quarterly. So we're one quarter behind. So if you don't see that information, but we have it directly from our state employment division, and then you turn around and send it back saying that we can't verify and because it doesn't match IRS records. Well, IRS records are yearly on tax information. So something doesn't jive there.
The only thing I can tell you is we have to have it on SSA side. I don't know when they reported or what. I can't respond to that portion. However, I can tell you, which Katie mentioned on the call before, at some point we are going to start receiving in monthly files as opposed to quarterly files, and that should help because it'll be a better sweep of data. But that's all that we can give you right now.
Okay, so are you going to have access to information from our states, from
no,
our individual
we will
states?
No.
So you will never have access from our individual states?
No. We are not going to see what you're seeing, if that's your question.
Okay. So you use IRS records, you use reported wages from individuals?
We use what's verified on the SSA record. So some of it is reported from individuals and then verified through our field offices, but it has to be on the SSA record.
So we have access to something you guys don't. Quarterly wage data.
Okay.
So, but from what I've seen, you don't take that for anything. We submit it, and you turn around and use your own resources, and so it's
right, and that's pretty much what we were trying to explain. That's why you can send it in or not send it in. But because we went over and we do want to give other people time to answer some questions, we can have one of the help desk agents contact you back, and you can continue. They can explain to you the rest of the process.
Okay, and I also want an update on the CUBRA report.
We gave an update on the CUBRA on the last call, but we'll have someone from the help desk send you out the exact information that Desiree gave the last call.
Okay, and I would also like an update on the next call for the previous month rule. with regards to the sanctions on this.
Okay, any topics that you want to see on the next call, please send them to the VR Help Desk because then we'll add it to next month's agenda.
And I also want to mention that you really need to allow us more time to ask questions. I know that all this stuff was beneficial, and an hour is just not enough time for us to get all our questions answered.
I do
feel that when you cut people off and tell them sorry, you know that you know it's you know sometimes you've ended a call and you've cut me off and you've ended a call, but there wasn't anybody else in the queue.
Okay.
So I just want to say that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
Next question comes from the line of Gina Haupt.
Hi. So I just want to make sure I have this right when I talk to my accounting department. So we send in 50 claims in the month that get processed, or let's say we get 50 checks or 50 approvals. We're going to get 50 different checks to our accounting office?
Yes.
Okay. And then I did have another question, but I can't remember it right now. So I guess I'll email the help desk on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gina.
And there are no further audio questions.
Okay, thank you very much. If that's the end of our questions, we're going to end today's call. We appreciate the participation, and also any question that you did not get answered today, remember, you can send those questions to our help desk, and we will get back to you with those answers. So thank everyone very much for joining us today.
And this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your line.